From the macabre minds of Laughing Devil Production comes another story from the Nightshade Diary. You know what that means. Check under the bed and make sure no one or nothing is there. Is the closet door securely shut? Then leave your disbelief behind, amp up your imagination, and hang on tight for another ride into terror and mystery. And like all good horror stories, just imagine it's a dark and stormy night. And remember, screaming like a little girl is permitted. What Season by Dennis Etchison. Madden watched the black crowd on the other side of the moving gelatin wall as rainwater poured down in translucent sheets over the windshield. He did not listen to the panelless tattoo. Instead, he followed with his eyes the group of black shadows floating past the car. I shouldn't have made you come, Lori, he said at last to the black figure next to him. She turned from the window, her lidded eyes not disapproving. That's enough, Jim. I wouldn't have felt right otherwise. Madden pressed his chin to his chest, squeezing his eyelids shut. He cleared his throat and rubbed his eyes, and his fingers came away moist. Again, his wife spoke very quietly. You were very close to her, I suppose, James. I only wish there was something. Forgive me if I'm crude, but I only wish I could have gotten to know her better, that she might have become in time my little girl as well. He pressed her cool hand. It was just all the mud around her. He bit his lips and started the engine and roared up the cemetery road, spinning out and spattering mud as he went. The Ford geared to a slippery halt under the wet sycamores. Bart stood at the end of the cracked driveway behind the main house, propping open the sagging screen door to his apartment. Through mist, Madden saw the controlled, mildly pleasant line shaping his mouth, leaving the face somber in a new and ill-fitting mask. Forget about the rug, said Bart. It's filthy anyway. We're so sorry to do this to you, Bart. Madden's wife brushed water from her clothing. But we thought the twins were really too young to, well, exactly have their faces rubbed in it. Bart smoothed a hand over his protruding black t-shirted belly. The kids are in the bedroom. Rain must have got them drowsy. Left him staring out the window, counting drops or something, he added gently to Madden, testing a smile. Let me see to them, Madden's wife started across the room. The men waited until she was gone. Bart faced him. Come over here and have a drink. No. Really, boy, really, now. You know how I mean it. Come on. At once, Madden felt his joints chilled and tired. No, Bart, I don't need it. He lowered himself to the sofa that was bulging and splitting like a fat man's incisions. Bart watched the misty screen door and compared it to the pale scotch and water in his hand. Twice he shaped his lips to stillborn beginnings. He shook his head and said nothing. You look at the hole and the mud, Madden began finally in a low voice, and you think of the human being there in a box, being lowered into the ground, and you wonder how can it be that a part of your body, a piece that has come from you, like an arm or leg, can be cut off, killed, and buried away, and you never being able to feel with it again? But you know, I worked with a man once who had lost an arm in the Korean War, and he said he could close his eyes anytime, and suddenly it was there again. The nerves were restored, and he could feel down to his fingertips, but when he opened his eyes to see why he hadn't touched what he was reaching for, his eyes told him there was nothing there anymore. Rain began to tap erratically on a metal vent somewhere on the roof. And you know, I can still see the world through my little girl's eyes, feel it as if she felt it, even though she's been cut off me, like one of my sense organs. I still feel her. Feel through her, my nerves, my ganglia just won't listen to the goddamn facts. Outside, water continued to fall and fall illogically, relentlessly, It would seem to be the result of a vast macrocosmic defrosting. Giggling, the twins came out of the bedroom. Matt and Solomon smiled wildly from the sofa. The two little boys acknowledged him peripherally and grinned, grasping their mother's hands more securely. "How did it go, boys?" inquired Madden, generating concern, and immediately hated his own detachment. "You are my sons now," he thought, "my only sons, and I should hold you tight against me." "We had fun, Dada. We had sandwiches. And we took a nap and went out and played and..." "Why?" noted Madden wearily. "They're actually speaking directly to me. She almost never lets them do that. What is this, some kind of show for Bart?" "Out? But it didn't let up today, did it, Bart?" he said. Well, the dark man gestured firmly to Madden. And he dropped his voice, ready to spell out words before the children. "They begged to go out. You brought them in their raincoats. And you know, it was one of those things. For a few minutes is all. Made them real happy. God knows, I have no practice in child rearing. Jesus, Jim, I hope they didn't catch anything." "Tad and Ray never catch cold," stated Madden's wife, smiling her wide, smooth, peculiar kind of smile. "You did fine, Bart." Madden watched his wife, spelled in the gray light. She snaked an arm around each of her children's shoulders. "We'd better go," she said. "It's Sunday and I have a Women's Guild meeting tonight." "Thanks, Bart. I mean it more than I can say." They walked together, heads down, to the door. A Sunday comic section for her hair, and Lorelai and the giggly children clambered down the shiny, fragmented driveway. Bart gripped his arm, looking deep into his eyes and nodding. "You know, I know. I can't say it, but I remember the Sunday we buried Mama." Hearing it said now, Madden felt no longer a memory of pain, but a bond with manhood. "Just so you know, I know," and a slap caught Madden between the shoulder blades and sent him into the rain. Took car where a somehow strange woman and children waited. He switched off the ignition and sat very still, staring into the liquid pattern on the windshield. "Ready, children?" asked Mrs. Madden, not looking to the back seat, taking her purse into her lap. From the back seat came giggling. Madden lay his head back, let his eyes trace the headliner of the car. Half a minute earlier, shedding off the wipers, he had caught himself hypnotized as the twin arcs of the wiper blades melted away. Now, motor silenced, he listened to the sound of endless beads beating their pattern into the top of the automobile. In the back seat, there was whispering like the swishing of cars down an empty street. "Let's go, children," prompted in their mother. "There'll be plenty of time for secrets when we get in the house." Abruptly, Madden snapped to. He focused his eyes from the windshield to the woman next to him, attuned his ears from the drumming over her head to the whisper of cloth on plastic as the children slid across the back seat. He touched the handle of his wife's door. It was cold, almost as cold as his hand. Behind him, someone giggled. Outside the picture window, premature dusk settled along the block like silent black wings. Won't you eat something?" asked Mrs. Madden tenuously. She leaned into the living room, spoon in hand, and spoke in silhouette from the yellow kitchen doorway. He cleared his throat. "What?" Madden's five fingertips moved involuntarily to the pane. The glass was cold. "Well," she intoned maternally, "you should have something. It's almost dark. Let me turn on the..." "It's all right, Lorelai. For God's sakes," he thought. "Don't patronize me. Not now." Children fatigued to the marrow, he sat in the newly rearranged and alien living room and tried to release his senses from the pain of here and now. He shut his eyes and tried to let his thoughts blow with the storm on down the blurred panorama of empty streets. She puttered for a time in the kitchen, and Madden, curiously detached, in the dark and the overstuffed chair, noticed again her effortless liquid movements, the way she had of gliding over a floor as though it were polished glass, her legs flowing out and back with each step in a charming suggestion of no gristle or bone, no deliberate angular bend to Lori's arm. No, in her, stirring and pouring out and rinsing away became a Siamese rubber arm ballet. "Your soup is in the oven, keeping warm, and the twins are tucked in, so don't, I mean, They shouldn't give you any trouble. Mrs. Madden paused in silhouette, then glided behind the enormous sagging hand that enclosed her husband. Lori, he swallowed, always in the bright kitchen, an electric clock hum. She sat on the armrest. Lorelai, do you ever think about the decision you made 10 months ago? He tried to stop his teeth from chattering. I mean, her arms reached a pale circle around his shoulders. You are the finest father my boys could possibly have, and I... And she smoothed his hair with her oddly flat hands and did not finish. Do you need to talk, Jim? The guild meeting? Yes, he thought, pressing his eyes tightly shut until shards of gray light fired inside his eyelids. Yes, I need something. I hear your words, but they're only words. I need more than talk. I need you warm against me. I need to live. He drew her into his lap, and at once it struck him. She was not warm. Her skin was cold, cold almost as... He pushed her away. Jim, I'm sorry. Is there something I can do for you? No. He stared ahead into the night-filled room. They're waiting for you already. There isn't anything you can do for me. Picking up coat, purse, and overshoes, Mrs. Madden pulled back the front door to a sheet of rain, a reminder about the soup, and she entered the falling sea. The telephone refused to warm in his hands. A sputter and crackle of rain and whispers on the wires between and across town. A mile away, a phone purred to life. And purred. And purred. Yeah? Hello, Bart. What am I interrupting? Jimmy, that you, boy? I hope I'm not interrupting anything. No, no, listen. Lori gone to her meeting? That's right. Then you're alone? Pause. Everything all right over there? Yes, look, I shouldn't have called. You want to talk, Jim? I guess. No. Bart, is someone coming over tonight? You going out? In this weather? Look, is everything all right? Pause. Bart, I wonder. I just wondered if... never mind. I shouldn't have bothered you. Look, you want to come over here? We could talk if you want. Can't leave the kids. They're asleep. Then and you're alone over there. You want me to come over, talk or something until Lori gets back? Pause. I have no business bothering you. Crap. Look, I'll come over, okay? We can talk, you know, like we used to. I'm pretty bad company tonight, I'm afraid, and the weather. Sure you want to? My idea, isn't it? And look, how can you turn down a lonely old bachelor like me? See you in 10 minutes. Thanks very much, Bart. But he had hung up. Madden waited on the back porch, listening. Far down in the darkness, the throaty thrumming of the frogs met with a rushing of running water. All about his thin figure, dirty streams dripped from the roof to mingle with puddles at his cold feet, to slip on down over the slanting yard, to join larger tributaries that splashed their way through the thorny shrubbery of the ravine, to feed at last with violent churning into the shrouded riverbed far below. From in front, Madden heard wet brakes gripped to a splashing stop. Shivering, he turned inside. The two men sat across from one another in the living room, two men who knew each other best of all in the world. There was only a pale moth glow from the kitchen. They spoke, and they did not speak, and from time to time Bart laughed and sipped from the brandy snifter in his lap. But then they threw the next game to the mother and angels, Bart was saying. Yes, said Madden. Bart rose and ambled to the black picture window. Abruptly, Madden was aware that his brother had stopped talking. Madden stared with him. He saw his brother frown. Do you feel it too, he thought. Vaguely illuminated beneath the street lamp was Bart's car, leaning against the curb, weathering the storm. Idly, Madden had a vision of the rain pouring off the metal top, streaming over the rolled-up windows and down into the innards of the door, where the handle and lock mechanism were. Chimbo, goddammit! Madden watched him. What's wrong? Bart drained his glass. I don't want to say it. I don't even know I'm right. Or if I ought to say it. It's all right. I can talk about Darla. Probably it would do me good. He massaged his face, trying to relax. I know I have to face... No, that's not what I'm talking about. Bart pivoted from the window in the rain. Listen to me, kid. Do you feel it?
Feel what?
Something about this house, this town. I don't know how to say it, but can't you feel it?
Bart glared into the empty brandy glass.
Something like what?
Madden lounged back into the cushion, ready to listen.
Now, thought Madden, this is the way.
It won't prove a thing unless he says it first.
Damn, breathed Bart. He turned back to the night and lit a cigarette. Maybe I'm going off the deep end. Look, can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
Something about this house.
I don't know.
The way it smells now? The way the chairs creak when I sit down? The color of the light? For God's sake, like the room is underwater or something. And all since she moved in.
The cigarette reflection burned in the window.
Nah, man. You're the one needs to talk at a time like this. I'm supposed to cheer you.
So you're cheering.
Shoot.
Look, it's just that. Haven't you noticed anything, well, different about the place since Lori and her kids moved in?
That it isn't really yours anymore? I mean, it's like every person has a rhythm, a pattern to his everyday life. You go into a man's bedroom, it smells like him. The bed bends a certain way when you sit on it because it's been shaped to fit every angle and bulge just right over the years. And you go into the kitchen, the way the dishes are piled up in the sink tells you more about the guy than a look at his diary, if you know what I mean. It's like the house soaks up what you are, the way you feel about life, and everything in the house gets to feeling the same way, too. And not only the place, but the woman he marries. She seems to fit right in, fit him and the house. And that's part of it, too. Jimbo, she's... And I know I'm stepping way over the bounds on this, but damn it, man, she's not you.
You know?
Let me ask. Don't you notice anything unusual about Lori?
Madden shut his eyes impatiently.
She's an unusually attractive woman, if that's what you mean.
No.
But then I promised myself not to bring up any of this with you. At least not for a long time.
But it isn't just this house.
Hell, we both grew up in Greenworth. I knew every turn in the river like the lines on my hands years before the government moved in. And it's changed now, somehow. First it was just the way the trees started growing crooked along the banks. But lately the whole town seems, I don't know, funny. The way the air smells, the paint on the houses.
I don't know.
I just don't know, but I'll tell you this. If I were blindfolded and left here, I'd never in a year guess this was the same town we grew up in.
Outside, the moon slipped for a moment through a pocket of clouds, washing Bart's face fish-like pale by the window.
Bart, what is it?
I wish I could be sure, kid.
Maybe you should forget it.
I pray to God I could. Jim, do you know how many storms like this we've had in Greenworth in the last 25 years?
Madden stirred.
I'll tell you, 3. Before 2 years ago, and not one raised the river more than a few inches. But in 2 years, 5 big ones.
Here, Bart spilled his coat pocket into the coffee table.
What the hell? I spent yesterday in the library looking things up. I don't know what for. Something made me do it, but God, I've got to show you.
Madden reached to the lamp.
Little white slips of paper fluttered in Bart's hands. For the first time in his life, Madden saw his brother trembling.
God, he laughed nervously. Help me, will you, Jim? Here the pieces took crazy jigsaw. It doesn't make any sense, but something in the back of my head keeps me from getting any sleep lately.
Here, look. Read it all, then tell me I'm nuts and send me home, but do something.
Deaths by drowning. County Beach. This year and last total 31. Previous 2 years total 9.
What's this for?
Don't stop now. Bart fumbled at the liquor cabinet.
Total rainfall in inches. Adjacent counties last year up 300%.
See? It's spreading.
Another slip of paper.
New residents in Greenworth past 24 months. Broadbent, Mr. and Mrs. C.L. Marber, G.
Nottingham, Mr. and Mrs. Frank R. Madden leaned forward intently. There's 24 more. He scrutinized his brother's now twisted face. So
you're right. They're nothing separately. Put them all together.
Let me ask you, Lori never told you where she moved from when she came here, did she?
Now that you bring it up, no, but what?
Listen to this. Last night, I got out the phone book and dialed these new listings. 21 are married couples, and every woman, Bart emptied his glass, every woman is in the Woman's Guild. Ice water poured into Madden's stomach.
So?
Bart jerked forth a folded clipping. This was in the Gazette when one finally moved in 20 months ago. Madden fingered the newspaper photo of Mr. and Mrs. Peter Hallendorf, newly established real estate broker and his lovely bride. Use this. A pocket magnifier hit the coffee table. She was lovely. There in the enlarged dots was a face that was...
I don't see.
Bart's shaking hand jabbed at the indistinct eyes, the mouth. At first he didn't see it, just that her eyes were softly, lethargically lidded. Bart snatched the framed photograph from the bookcase and tossed it to his lap. And there were two sets of lidded eyes, two wide, smooth, peculiar smiles side by side. They might have been sisters. Madden groped. At the bottom of his consciousness, the pressure was rising now and he felt his finger giving way in the dike. Jim, grunted Bart, I called the community center this evening. They never heard of it. There is no Women's Guild. And now, just one more question. I hate to remind you, boy, but you've got to have all the pieces in front of you. Bart leaned over, breath coming fast and pungent. Tell me again how it was your little girl died. Madden bit his knuckle.
Man, I don't know what you're driving at. Please, just say it.
She drowned in the bottom of the tub. He fought up out of the chair. Both men faced each other, white-faced.
God damn, breathed Bart, turning back to the darkness. God damn me for saying it.
Walking in the wet, Madden knew, at last, that he could leave the house behind and give himself up to the storm. Slimy, tangled brush grabbed at his sopping clothes, but he did not think of it and slid down the ravine to the churning riverbed. In the glistening night, he saw the swelling rush muddying over collapsing banks, and he remembered the first and worst storm. 2 seasons ago, how the ravine filled steadily to the brim, spilling up over the backyard, and then weeks later, how the yard blossomed alive with all manner of new, unnamed wild plants and shoots and bloom-faced flowers, and how he suddenly awoke one night to discover the moldering ravine an amphitheater of swollen hordes of singing insect life, a thundering of bullfrogs, a sweltering din of mosquitoes, a screeching chorus of crickets, laden with life, pollen, and cyst, and egg had been carried by the water and given birth at long last. Madden stretched through the wet growth to the river's edge. Facts and meanings swirled and eddied within him. He saw the fresh water flowing on past, headed for the sea. A paper boat or a leaf could float the 5 miles to the turbines and beyond to the sea, but only something living could do the opposite. Suddenly, as if by a signal, frog and insects ceased their noise. In the new silence above the rain, Madden heard a car door slam. He began tearing savagely at the shrubbery. His hair and chin dripped, and his clothes were torn and caked with mud below the waist, but did not think of these things as he climbed his way to the porch. He smeared a wet trail across the kitchen. Lorelei came through the unlighted living room.
Why, James, I thought you'd be in bed, and your clothes, why... Where have you been? He shivered.
She reached to touch his clothes. He jumped back. He saw that her clothing, too, was dripping, much more than from a run from the car.
Why, James!
Get away! Who are you?
The sound of giggling.
He ran to the bathroom door. He kicked it in, grinning in the stark white porcelain bathtub with the twins, Tad and Ray. They splashed and curled eel-like appendages up over the edge.
What is this? Muttered Madden, blinded by the light.
What are you boys bathing for at? Then he saw their smooth, shining skins glistening in the water in a strange new way. So this is the way Darla came upon them that day, he thought. So that was why. That was why. So now I have no choice. He fell upon them, pushing their small heads under the water until bubbles floated up. They came up grinning. So you know, she said. He turned. The bright white tiles around him. Lorelei dripping came toward them, holding out her arms as if to embrace him. An alien scaliness glittered anew along her neck, her boneless arms. Behind them, the little ones giggled. Madden stepped back before she could touch him. His legs met the tub and he tumbled backwards, seeing in a flash the bright walls and ceiling. There was a resounding splash and then violent churning and giggling, and the sound of the rain outside.